Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Peters! Fulton and Rebate are exchanging punches.
And now, the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
And our number two, no Craig Revay, although Craig does apologize for not being here. Dregs, he wanted to be here, always enjoys the segment. Instigators on WGR 550 and MSG. Quick note, Sabres 7 o'clock puck drop tonight, 6:30 pregame show on MSG with Marty and Duffer. 6 o'clock with Shope and Bulldog on WGR 550. So, Dregs, first of all, I love the new time with you because it allows us a little more time to breathe because you have so much knowledge, so much info that when we get on at 10:30 or 10:32, it leaves us 12, 13, 14 minutes because of the commercials. So this gives us a solid 20 minutes or so, nice. 25, 22 minutes, and we can kind of, you know, not
did
have
Did you
to
clear
like
it with Dregs, though? Like, can he stay 20 minutes?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he's a busy man.
Well, I threw out the request last week. So, you know, we were talking before we jumped on here. Dregs jumped on the Zoom, and he's at Darren Dreger on Twitter, if you don't follow him already. We were talking about Formula One and stuff like that, but I'm always curious. I know you're an avid golfer, obviously very dialed into hockey, but what other sports do you like to watch? I mean, if you have a night off from hockey, is there sports? Are you sports, or are you just kind of want to decompress from the sports and kind of just, you know, let my brain rest?
Yeah, more of that, to be fair. You know, especially from hockey. You know, there'll be nights where, of course, I'm always on my phone and I'm paying attention to what's going on. But if I don't feel like there are four games that I absolutely have to dial into, I won't watch. It doesn't happen very often. I'm always skipping around. Excuse me. But beyond that, now my landline. We've got everything going on.
That's the bat line. Do you need to get that?
No.
Okay.
No. In fact, I haven't figured out how to disconnect it. This is about the 10th time that this has happened in the last 6 months or so. So that'll be my chore when we hang up. But other sports.
There's got to be a cord you can pull right out of the wall. Do it live on TV.
I want to see angry Dregs rip the phone out of the wall and
like Reg Dunlop. Like, put it in the drawer there.
See, the problem is I have so much stuff coming out of that area. Like I literally have a satellite, right, that dials me into NBC and TSN and all that. So if I start unplugging stuff, it could turn out to be bad. But I'll have to figure that out. So I'll quickly answer your question. I gravitate to golf on a weekend by weekend basis. That's number one for me. During the NFL season, I watch Sunday football. Weird one for you, and I just watched it last night. Curling.
Yes.
Curling.
Have you ever curled?
Oh yeah,
From Saskatchewan, right? You're from Saskatchewan.
Curl in Saskatchewan. Don't jump down my throat. I don't know. I mean, who knows? Yeah. If it's not something that you everyone has, it's accessible. You know what I mean?
No, fair enough. But it was literally like an intramural sport in school. Like we had to do it.
No way.
It was a great way to get out of school for a couple of hours. You'd walk down to the local curling rink, and away you go. But on that note, so I obviously wasn't a great hockey player, but I, you know, played all the way up, got invited to a tier 2 camp, an SJHL camp when I was like 16, 15. And I didn't want to go because I knew I wasn't going to, I didn't know I wasn't going to make it. I just knew that, look, it wasn't going to be in the cards long term. My brother encouraged me to go. But back then, I think that, I want to say the registration fee was like 60 or 75 bucks. It was a fundraiser, right? So, you know, you get a letter in the mail, and I think I was in like group C, and there was A, B, C, and D, and there's like 20 guys each. And group A were the top prospects and the returning players. Group B were guys that probably had, you know, somewhat of a chance. Group C had no chance. And group D, I mean, they were just there, right? So I was so offended by the realization that this was nothing more than a fundraiser for this team that I quit. I said, that's it, I'm done. And I jumped onto a curling team with a couple of high school buddies. And we ended up, I went to the Canada Games. And I also went, I mean, we made the provincial championship a number of times curling. So
that's juniors though. You're talking junior curlers or you're talking adult life?
No, junior curlers. Yeah.
Okay.
Provincial juniors.
What was your role on the team? Were you the skip?
No, I was the lead on the really good teams. I was second. I mean, I skipped a number of teams later, including winning the mixed championship in Winnipeg. And I got to remember, I think it was the Charleswood Club in Winnipeg, which Jeff Stoughton, if you're a curling fan, even a little bit back in the day, this guy was like curling royalty out of Winnipeg. He wasn't there, but his team was there. And we ended up beating them to win the mixed championship that year.
Is he the guy that won all those Scott Tournament of Hearts?
That's
what the women, the Scott.
No, Labatt Breyer.
It's the Tim Hortons Breyer now.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress. So I watch a fair bit of curling.
Okay. Well, I guess we're going to maybe move on to hockey.
No, definitely. Aaron Dreger's on the line here with us.
What's going on with the wallpaper in your office?
Okay, Dreger, hold on. Stop. True or false, this or that? Real back setting or backdrop on a green screen? What is it?
No, it's real. Why I know it's real? Is because I know Marty is into the horses. His family is into the horses. And I can see the horses on the print of the wallpaper.
Yeah, so that's what it is. So I'm actually at the house this weekend because the girls are at a horse show. So I'm keeping things here. And so I don't have my normal mask and everything background. So I have the very fancy, like, Mackenzie Child's plates and the horse wallpaper, and it looks really good. So much that Rivs was like, that's a fake background. I'm like, hey,
you want the first thing I said when I got on the call today, I said, is that a green screen?
This is all Anne Marie. She's an interior designer. She does all this. So that's what she does, and she's good at it. So Dregs, she can come up to Toronto when the borders open. She'll redo your family room and dining room if you want.
Yeah, well, when we get into that mode of a horse theme, then you can guarantee.
Oh, she can do everything.
I'm looking at the pillows now, and there's a horse on the pillow. I mean, you've got other side. You've got horses everywhere.
Well, yeah, but I didn't know those were horse room. And
I thought that was Cadillac, the Cadillac logo on the...
Or Ferrari.
I didn't know what that was. Instigators, you never know what's going to happen here. Darren Dreger on the line with us, WGR 550 and MSG. If you don't follow him already, he's at Darren Dreger on Twitter, TSN Hockey Insider. And you know, Dregs, I think one of the biggest questions here in Buffalo now that the trade deadline's over and everything like that is, what is up with Jack Eichel's health, and do you know anything about his therapy? There's talks of maybe trying to rehab it, and then there's talks of a surgical procedure. What's the latest that you've heard of?
Well, look, I mean, it seems pretty clear that both sides, the club and the Eichel camp, aren't on the same page with this. And you know, there are ongoing meetings between the doctors. No decision has been made yet. That's what I'm told from Buffalo's perspective. But as I reported and others have reported in the last few weeks, the plan was for Jack to have the surgery to retract the disc in his neck in early May. And I haven't been able to reach anybody on Eichel's side. So I'm assuming that that's still the plan. But again, as of this morning, the information that I'm getting is that there's no formal decision that's been made. That's the view of the club. So there must be some back and forth happening between Eichel's side and the Buffalo Sabres. So when that happens, and it's not unusual, it happens quite frequently, then that tells you that the two sides aren't aligned on what they think the next step in this process should be.
So we know that Jack Eichel seeks a second opinion and potentially even a third opinion, whatever, you know, his process was. From your experience, is it always easy going? Like the team is like, okay, go get a second opinion, or does it come down to a little friction because players go and seek their own set of doctors to be able to have their own opinions on what's going on?
Yeah, no, there can be friction, but I don't think that there was in this case. Okay. And now we're going back weeks ago here when, you know, it was actually a story we were following from a quarantine basis because Jack left, right? And then would have had to come back into quarantine, which we were reporting on. But I remember asking the Sabres at that point, you know, well, he's obviously seeking a second opinion. And they said, yeah, and we don't have a problem with that at all. In fact, we fully endorse and support that. And I would think that normally that would be the position of the club. I mean, at the end of the day, Jack needs to be Buffalo's best player. I mean, by definition of his contract, his value to the organization, his captaincy, all of those things. So they want him back to 100% health as soon as possible. And furthermore, you guys know this as former players, whether you embraced it or not, it's your right to a second opinion, regardless of what, you know, your NHL doctors and medical advice is. It's your right to seek that second opinion. So the Sabres had no problem.
Yeah, you also wonder too if teams don't have problems with players getting second opinions of Jack Eichel's caliber, right? I mean,
for sure.
You know, you wonder if it's a guy like me, if they're just kind of like, oh, come on, you know, just get the thing done. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be funny when I say that. Yeah. You wonder if it's viewed differently, because wasn't Eric Lindros the first one to really kind of create a hiccup with second opinions?
Yeah, but now we're going back in time, right? And you know, even your era, and I hear what you're saying in definition of the type of player, and obviously there'd be a higher level of concern with an elite player like Jack Eichel. But you go back to the Lindros era, or, you know, time before that, guys played almost through anything, right? I mean, they'd have broken bones to some degree, and they'd find a way to play. Concussions, like how many... You know, not to go down that road, but I've got buddies that played many, many years in the National Hockey League who can't count how many concussions they had, but things were treated differently 15, 20 years ago. That was just the norm, but it's not that way anymore, thankfully.
Dregs, mental health, concussions, quarantine, COVID, it all goes into the same bowl right now with what the players are dealing with. Robin Leonard had a 10-minute rant the other day about how he kind of blamed the NHL and said, you made false promises. He said, yeah, if we got the vaccine, the restriction were going to be loosened up. A little bit like the NBA, I believe, has loosened the restrictions on players that have had the vaccine. And he said, it's not happening. Now he retracted a little bit when he called it prison, but what is the sense amongst players right now that have gotten vaccinated, and where is the NHL going with all of that?
Yeah, you know, it's a sensitive topic, obviously, and what makes it even more high level is the difference, the disparity between Canada and the United States. Yep. I mean, the Canadian teams aren't getting vaccinated yet. They're not going to jump the queue here in Canada. They've got to wait their turn. And then you've got a good margin, I would say, of American teams. I don't know the exact number that have been fully vaccinated, but I would say a good number of them have by this stage. You know, the confusing part about Robin Leonard's comments, I mean, number one, I think everybody felt his rawness, the emotion, the honesty, sensitivity around, you know, his very open battle with mental health. And the fact that he's a strong advocate for it. I mean, we just need more talk at that level. Where it went a little sideways from an NHL and an NHLPA perspective is they both say, look, we have never made promises like that. Not one time did we say, well, as soon as you're vaccinated, we're going to loosen restrictions. In fact, it's been quite the obvious. And on the virtual general manager's call earlier this week, a good portion of that call near the end of the call was to remind experienced it yet, right? So that just made the league and the Players Association rethink that we got to keep diligent here and not relent even a little bit. So there's confusion from the league and from the Players Association as to where Robin Leonard would have received that information to expect that the restrictions were going to be lifted.
Darren Dreger with us here. We're talking everything around the NHL, COVID being a huge conversation here. You know, obviously that affects the Olympics, the start date next year. Where's the league on that? Are we going to see players participate if the 2022 Olympics do take place?
Well, the players want to, Petey, we know that. I mean, that hasn't changed. You know, the players want to play on the highest scale and level globally, and that is the Olympics. But there has to be a financial attachment to this. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense for the National Hockey League to shut down for as long as they have to make the Olympics work. So there's ongoing dialogue between the IIHF, the NHL, the Players Association, and the IOC. And not to get into the ramblings of what the league and the PA need from the IOC. I mean, there's insurance-related issues. There's some marketing elements to it. There's lots of things that the NHL and the Players Association need. What's gumming it up is the IOC is invested right now and top priority is the Summer Olympics and wondering whether or not they're going to be able to pull off Tokyo. And there's still a pretty big question mark there because of COVID-19 and what's happening in Japan. So unfortunately for the NHL and the players, it's not top priority. But the NHL is going to have to make it a top priority, whether the IOC likes it or not. And I suspect that that's going to happen sooner rather than later. I think for the comfort of the NHL, they would need to know by the end of May, what's happening, whether or not there's going to be a process that they can work with that is going to help them establish their planning. Because, look, the schedule maker has been the most valuable in the league office this year because of COVID-19 and rescheduling and whatnot. Well, the schedule maker, Steve Hatzepetros, has to have a couple or more than a couple matrices to cover off for what that season looks like if there is a Winter Olympics. So that's why there's a deadline and a timeline that's fast approaching.
Now, the fact that it is Beijing, China, does it add to the need and want to go? Because I remember when I was playing 8 years ago, Don Fair was always talking about, we want to be able to tap into the Chinese market. It's a really big market. And I think the NHL can do that. They had the premier games in China. They've done a ton. Does it make it more important for the league to pursue that Olympics because it's China? Or if it was Pyeongchang, like the last time, they would say, no way we're going. We're not going to Pyeongchang, but China, we have to make it happen.
Well, you know, I'd have to concede to Bettman and Daly on that one. I don't honestly know exactly how they view. Every time I've asked about the market in China and, again, growing the game globally and the untold revenue that might be gathered from China in general, I get, we're interested. And, look, the league has been there. The NHL has been there. They don't go there just for the sake of going there. They go there because, you know, it's a market that they feel like there should be an investment in. But I think it's again, the importance that is placed in collective bargaining by the National Hockey League Players Association that makes the Olympics, period, no matter where it is, a priority. And because of that, and because of the most recent agreement between the two sides, the NHL really doesn't have a choice. I mean, that's what the players want. So in good faith, they've got to walk hand in hand through this negotiation or this process with the IIHF and, more importantly, the IOC. But obviously, you know, growing revenue in a world where there's limited revenue because of COVID-19 is important. And if China can be a big part of that moving forward, then the NHL would be wise to take advantage of it.
At Darren Dreger on Twitter, TSN Hockey Insider, joining us here at 11 instead of 11:30 today. Can we do that regularly, Dregs? Is that something we can do regularly?
I think so. I mean, there might be one-offs where I'm playing golf or I just don't have time for you.
But both acceptable. Okay. Always know that, you know, it's an option. This is an option. What are the chances of the women's worlds happening, Dregs, with all this COVID talk?
Well, I can't say 100% chance because, again, how can you say that, you know, in a pandemic? I believe that the IIHF is committed to hosting a women's worlds this year. You can't cancel it in back-to-back seasons and wipe out the international stage for these women who have worked so hard and they have trained so hard. So it's a priority. There's no doubt about that. And I know that Finland is interested in hosting. We know that, you know, it was reported Dallas is interested in hosting. Dallas will soon host the under 18 men's championship, which, man, NHL scouts are so looking forward to seeing these draft eligibles play. So if they can get through that in Dallas, then maybe without any issues COVID related, then maybe Dallas becomes a prime contender for the women's worlds. I know Hockey Canada has received a number of calls from Ottawa, from Edmonton, from BC, from Prince Edward Island. And the plan is to host the Women's Worlds wherever it is in late August or early September. That's the best fit for the IIHF. And I don't think that the federations would have an issue with that. But again, they most definitely want to get the Women's Worlds played this year.
Let me ask you this, Drex, because we have Haley Scamura, who's a local girl here in Buffalo. She actually skated with my son's team all year, getting ready for that, right, for the World Championships. Kendall Coyne Schofield just put a tweet out saying, what has changed from 3 months ago to now? Like, what changed in Nova Scotia in the organizational committee to decide the day before they were to go and board a plane or a bus to go to the World Championship, the Women's World? What changed? What made them do that decision?
Well, just, I guess, a heightened sense of safety and concern over numbers, not just in Nova Scotia, numbers around the world. And I guess the premier and the provincial government in Nova Scotia left it until the last minute just so they could be certain. But it literally was last minute. And frankly, I'm surprised that more hasn't been made. There's been a lot made, you know, pointing fingers at Hockey Canada and the IIHF and saying, well, they haven't canceled the men, but it's so easy to cancel the women. Well, that's not true. The IIHF and Hockey Canada didn't cancel the Women's World Hockey Championship. The premier of Nova Scotia canceled the World Women's. And I suspect that there's going to be a business battle over that, because you'd have contracts in place. Insurance would cover some of that. But to cancel as late as they did, I mean, honestly, guys, there were teams heading to airports overseas, you know, so that they could meet up with a charter in North America to get to Nova Scotia to continue with their quarantine. So I have an appreciation for how difficult a decision that must have been for the province of Nova Scotia. But let's make it clear. Let's get our facts straight. It was the province that canceled the Women's World. So any of those questions, which are 100% fair, need to be directed at the politicians in Nova Scotia.
Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, always bringing the heat. I do have one more question. It's Sabre related, if you don't mind.
No, of course.
Allmark's injury going to affect his extension, you think? Or have you heard anything of the sort?
I haven't. I don't think it will. I don't think it will. I don't think it will from Buffalo's perspective, and I don't think it would from Allmark's position, other than, you know, I guess ultimately he gets to make his decision as to whether he wants to extend with the Sabres or not. But I don't get the sense, and I haven't asked it directly, but I don't get the sense that this is clogging things up from the Sabres standpoint.
All right. Well, Marty Biron's first NHL game story coming up next, and what he went through with UPL making his debut tonight.
So tune in, Dregs.
Tune in, Dregs.
Tune in. Yeah, I'm still, I'm just mesmerized by the wallpaper, man.
Okay. Well, I can get you a good deal on it.
Now I'm noticing the pictures of the fruit baskets. I mean, this is just sensational.
Yeah, look. Like on TV, they can't see the 200 bucks a roll
for that wallpaper, Dregs. 200 bucks a roll.
I'll move it over so people can see it on TV. So that's the wallpaper.
That's a wide green screen, Marty. That's a wide
screen. Now, your wife is going to be sour because you just got the vacuum in the shot.
No, I didn't. You saw the vacuum, but on TV, they didn't. So that it's only for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dregs, thanks for your time.
I'm an expert at this.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it very much. Darren Dreger will be on with us next Friday at 11 o'clock, TSN Hockey Insider. He's at Darren Dreger on Twitter. Marty Biron's first game in the NHL. How nervous was he? What did he do? What did he eat? Are there any funny stories? How much money did he put on the board? We'll talk about it all right here. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back. And we're going to get into Marty Biron's first NHL game story as UPL set to make his NHL debut. But before we do that, don't forget to donate blood and save a life during the month of April. Each donor will receive a Buffalo Sabres long sleeve shirt, and you can get all your information at connectlife.com or go to
org,
or go to Twitter, and it's at WeConnectLife. So go check that out. You can get all the information on where to donate, but this is what you can get.
And I just made an appearance, Petey.
Saving a life. Yeah, you were saying that.
I just made an appearance to the Connect Life headquarters in Wilmsville. It's actually right at like Main and Transit. You go east on Main a little bit. It's right there, and it's amazing what they do. Now, I always thought you donate blood, that's it, right? A half hour, 45 minutes, but there's much more to that. There's people that donate platelets. They're there for 2.5 hours. You know, they go back every couple of weeks because platelets are important for certain need and therapy. If you donate blood, they will, if you want, they can give you a card, and then you sign up for it, and then you'll get a text alert or an email saying your blood was used today at Western New York Hospital, and they'll tell you the hospital. It's very important to do. There was older people, there was younger people there as well donating blood. So that was really cool. I enjoyed my time there. I got to meet the staff, got to meet some donors. It was really cool.
Connectlife.org, and you can check them out on Twitter as well. It's at WeConnectLife. So it's you can donate blood during the month of April, and each donor will receive a Buffalo Sabres long sleeve shirt. So tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop, 6:30 pregame show, fan appreciation night. Be sure to tune into the broadcast at 6:30. 6 o'clock pregame show on WGR 550. We are going to see Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and he's going to make his NHL debut. And we've already talked about what we expect to see and all of this stuff and how much pressure he could be under. But Marty, Craig and I sit here all the time. We talk about guys coming into the league and all these different pressures, but goalie pressure, I feel, is a little bit different. So we've seen lots of guys play their first games, but I don't know how many goalies I've seen play their first NHL game. Take us through your first day, but not only that, the lead up to it. Did you know you were getting called up? How'd you get called up? What'd you eat? All that stuff.
Okay, so we got to go back a week before that. I'm at the World Juniors camp, Team Canada's World Juniors camp. It was in Campbellton, New Brunswick, and I get caught. Last day of camp, me, Danny Briere, Jim McKee, and Daniel Cleary all get caught. So I go back home. I get home on December 22nd, I believe it was. That day, my junior team was playing a game, so I go to the game. Then it's Christmas vacation. So the 23rd, I'm hanging out with families, and then the 24th, we're getting ready to go to my grandma's house for Christmas Eve. Get a call. It's Larry Carrier. And he, you know, I answer, hello, and it's Larry in French. He goes, Marty, Larry Carrier here, Buffalo Sabres. Listen.
Are you 18 or 19? Sorry.
I'm 18. 18. I'm 18. I got drafted in the summer of 95. We're talking about December, Christmas of 1995. So
wasn't sure if it was the next year after. Okay. So you're 18 years old.
Yeah. It's 26 years ago now. And, so I pick up, talk to Larry. He goes, so we need you to board a flight tomorrow from Quebec City and go to Pittsburgh on Christmas Day, December 25th. The team will not be there because, as you know, December 24th and 25th was always off. And teams are not allowed to travel on Christmas Day. So they're like, the team will meet you at the hotel on the 26th in the morning. You will then board the bus. Go up to the Mellon Arena, the Igloo in Pittsburgh. You'll have morning skate, and the game is that night. So I'm all excited, right? So I go to my, you know, my family's Christmas party, and they're like, hey, you're going to go to the NHL. This is all cool.
It's a nice Christmas present, by the way.
That was fantastic. Yeah, whatever my parents were going to get me that year was not going to compare to going to the NHL. So anyway, so the next day I fly to Pittsburgh, get to Pittsburgh late at night, go to the hotel. I have my equipment. I'm all excited. I go to bed. I don't really remember if I slept good or bad. I must have slept okay because I'm a good sleeper. Wake up the next morning, don't have a cell phone in 1995, right? So I'm kind of nervous and eager to get it the day started. So I grab my equipment. I go down to the lobby and I'm waiting in the lobby for somebody from the Sabres to say, hey, we're here to pick you up. So I'm in the lobby. I'm waiting. It's like 10 o'clock, 10:30. We're supposed to practice at 11:30, 10:45. I'm like, what is going on? Like, where is the Sabres? All of a sudden, Kenny Martin. And you remember Kenny Martin? He works for the National Hockey League now, but he was the PR guy.
Wonderful guy.
He runs into the hotel. Marty, I'm Kenny Martin with the Sabres. I'm like, oh, okay. Where's the bus? The bus is at the rink. We were running late this morning. We went straight to the rink. I've been trying to call your room to tell you to get to the arena, but we have to go. Oh, and you know, like the William Penn Hotel, the Omni Hotel in Pittsburgh, yeah. The walk to the Mellon Arena is a straight uphill walk, like in the hills.
You had to carry your gear?
We both have the gear on our shoulder. I have one strap on one shoulder. He have the strap on the other shoulder. My pads, my sticks, and we're literally like power walking, running uphill to the Mellon Arena. I get to the
practice. Could you imagine if there were cell phones back then? They would have been recording you. Like, they would have known you were an NHL goalie going to the rink.
They would have called my cell phone and said, get to the rink right now. I was in the lobby. Nobody was like.
Never would have happened. Carry on.
So we're running up the hill to get to the Mellon Arena. I get to the locker room. I'm winded. It's stuff. Like, and then guys are halfway dressed. I have like 10 minutes to get dressed. I get on the ice, morning skate, 20 minutes, half hour. I want to stay on a little longer. But by the time I'm back to the locker room, the guys are all gone. They're all gone. Like, they are showered and they're gone. And I go to Rip and Pizza at the time. And I said, so what do I do now? What do I do? Where do I go? And they're like, well, now you're going to go back to the hotel and have pregame meal. Okay. So I go to the hotel. I go to the room with the pregame meal. They're all gone. Everybody's eaten. Everybody's done, right? So I eat. And then the trainers come in. I said, so now what? What do I do? Okay. 5 o'clock bus in the lobby. Most guys, they take a nap. I was going to school in the afternoon in juniors. Like, it was totally different. So I get back to my room. I was by myself in my room the night before. I walk into the room. It's pitch black. I'm like, what's going on? Like, I turn the light on. There's a man sleeping in the bed next to mine. I have no idea who this guy is. He's sleeping. So I shut the light. I get in my bed.
All this going on. Do you know you're starting that night?
Have no idea. Zero clue I'm starting that night. I just think I'm dressing and Steve Shields is going to start, right? So I go in bed. It's about 2 o'clock. All of a sudden at 3 o'clock, this man wakes up and gets up and whatever. It was Yuri Himalev. So Yuri Himalev doesn't talk a whole lot of English enough, but at the time I didn't speak a whole lot of English. So I'm kind of watching, he gets dressed. So I get up and get dressed. I grab my bag and I follow him out the door and end up at the ring. So we're getting ready for the game, right? And I have no idea that I'm playing. So we get on the ice for warm up and I go to the far corner in warm up and I start stretching. I did not realize the Pittsburgh Penguins, the door to their locker room was to my right.
Get out
so the
here.
Door opens and they all step on the ice one by one right next to me. Like there's, you know, Kevin Stevens, there's Peter Nedved, there's Marty Straka, there's all these guys stepping on the ice. Jagr steps on the ice, right? And then all of a sudden, there's nobody. I'm thinking they're done. No. Who gets out last out
the
of the
only
locker
guy
room
that's allowed to go last in Pittsburgh?
Is Mario Lemieux, the guy that you have the jersey behind you. He steps on the ice. He taps me on the pads and he says, good luck, kid. And he skates away. No bucket on, like the hair, the 66 skating away. I'm like literally like want to die. Like I want to melt into the ice at that moment. So now it's time for the shots. There's no goalies in the net. And I'm standing next to Steve Shields and Shields, he goes, Marty, go. I'm like, no, you go. He goes, no, you're starting, go. I'm like, I starting what? You're starting the game. What? Like, I don't know if it was lost in translation or if I was too excited. I had no idea I was even started. So I went into the net to take some shots. I completely overdid the warm-up. I was exhausted after warm-up. I was so tired. And that's how I found out I was playing my first NHL game. Like,
how'd
it was
go?
Did you not recall? Like, I gave up 4 goals. First shot, Peter Nedved on a half breakaway goal. Jagr scored 2 that period. I was down 4-0 after 1. I looked like a deer in a headlight. I had no business being there. I was 18 years old. I had no practice time with the Sabres. I had a morning skate for 20 minutes, and that was it. And so I got pulled after the first. Steve Shields went into the second. We were down 6-1, I think, after 2. And then Teddy Nolan says, Marty, you're going back in the third. Don't worry about the score. And you're going to start tomorrow night at home against the Ottawa Senators at the odd. So it's kind of like a practice for me to get my second start. So I went into the third, did not give up a goal. We lost, actually, 6-3, I believe. I was hoping we were going to score one more goal because if we had lost 6-4, I wouldn't have gotten the loss. Steve Shields had given up the 5th goal of the game, so he would have gotten the loss. But we stopped at 6-3. I was a little upset about that. So I got my first loss. And then the next night, we flew back to Buffalo, practiced at the odd in the morning, played that night at the odd against the Ottawa Senators. I believe we lost like 4-2 or 5-3, something like that. The goalie for the Ottawa Senators was Mike Bales, who is the goalie coach for the Sabres now. I ended up playing with him later. And then played on Tucson. I didn't play, but was there for Tucson Pucks in 95-96, played in the Montreal Forum. It was really cool. It was a great experience.
So what I take from all that, and I appreciate you sharing that, and it goes all the way. Uka Pekka Luukkonen has had much different preparation than you had for his first game. But we talked about Thomas Vokoun yesterday. I mean, you had a very long career in the NHL and you got shell shocked your first game. It really doesn't matter what happens to Uka Pekka Luukkonen tonight. It's just about experiencing what the game feels like. And whatever
doesn't
happens,
the results don't matter. In my opinion, I want to see what he looks like. That matters. Like I knew at 18 and that we lost 6-3, that I gave up 4 or whatnot. It didn't matter, but you could tell I wasn't ready. You could tell I was a deer in a headlight for playing in those games. I watched the video and I'm like, what was I doing there? It was obviously because of injuries and they had nobody else in the organization. Uku Pekka Luukkonen is in a much different situation, but I want to see, is he ready next season or is he 2 years away? Like what is there with UPL? So that to me saves, goals, score. It doesn't matter. It's how he's going to look. That is going to matter for UPL in my mind.
Then tell us after the break, what is it that we should be looking for in his game tonight that will show us promise? Because I think that's what I'm not looking for a shutout. I don't care if he gets beat 5-1. I just want to know, are there tendencies that we should look for that will indicate to us that he is an elite talent. Stick around. Marty's with us. Well, with me till the end of the show here. Final segment, 7 o'clock puck drop tonight, 6:30 pregame show. It's fan appreciation night. Make sure you tune in early. It's all virtual, and 6 o'clock pregame show on WGR 550. We'll be back with the final segment coming up.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, 7 o'clock game, 6:30 pregame show on MSG, and 6 o'clock on WGR 550. And we all get to see UPL tonight for the first time. He's been talked about for a while, all the way back from his draft in Sudbury Wolves days. So look forward to checking this guy out. Marty, what are we looking for here to see, you know, what exactly he is? I mean, how do you look at a goalie in, I don't want to say one game, but and know that he has the tendencies that are elite?
So the first thing I would look at is his positioning. When the puck hits him, is he square? And the way you're going to know if he's square is if when the puck hits him, the rebounds are either they stick with him or they're in a position where they don't like just leak through the arm or bounce to the side. And then all of a sudden he has no chance on the rebounds because he wasn't square. So that's the number one thing. Like when the shot is taken on him, and I'm not talking he has to come across on a 2-on-1 and he has to split and then they're like, well, he didn't control his rebound. I'm talking about the puck is moving. He has plenty of time to follow the play. And then is he square? Is he in the right position? And when the puck is going towards him, can he absorb that rebound or does it leak through the arm a little bit? Is he looking behind him a little bit a couple of times? So if he starts looking behind him and the puck is kind of just squeezing through his legs and his arms, even though it doesn't go in the net, that's like, okay, there's he wasn't square. He wasn't fully stopped. He wasn't in the right position. But if the puck is sticking to him and he looks big, like perfect example, PD, Jeremy Swayman last night, the goalie for the Boston Bruins, right? Every time the Sabres took a shot, he was stopped and he was in his stand and it made it look easy. Did he make some really good saves? Yeah, he made one on Skinner. He made another one, the guy cutting across, whatnot. Like made some good saves, but the normal routine saves, he made him look easy. That's what I'm looking for from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, is that every time he makes the saves, he's assured of himself. He's not looking behind. He looks confident in making that save. His recovery, when the save is done, he made the save. What's his recovery like? Is it taking a long time? Is he staying on his knees a little longer? Or is he, boom, responding to that recovery? Those are all signs of NHL goaltenders. And then that's really what I'm looking for.
Do you know him at all?
I've talked to him a few times, but not like, and listen, great guy. I don't know if you saw the interview and the practice report with Duffer.
I did.
Brian Duff asked him about the Finnish goalies, right? He talked about Pekkarinne and Antiniemi and Tuukka Rask. And I love the Finnish accent. I love the Finnish accent. Those guys are, they were the best players. My best teammates were from Finland. They're fantastic. So love. And he seems like a good down to earth guy. I love him.
They just, all those players that come from Finland, they nothing just ever seems handed to them. You know, I feel like that's kind of their MO over there is everything, you know, a young kid, you know, they have to come up through the ranks and yeah, earn it. And that's what Riv was saying when he was playing over there. We only have a minute. Yeah. So I just one more mention of this and I will find it here. Okay, there it is. Walmart, don't forget, every save this month every single save, they'll be donating 100 meals to families in need and joining the fight against hunger at walmart.com/fight hunger. Seems to be the theme too, as you talk about goaltending. How many did he have last night? 33 saves, even though he let in, there were five, he still had 33 saves.
Well, in the last four games, Dustin Tokarski and Walmart, basically, they've given up like over, I think it's like 14,000 meals, really, because he had 140 saves, I think, in the four games or three and a half games. So
pressure, UPL, just have fun. Right, Marty? Just relax and enjoy.
I can't wait. Number one, though. Boys. Number one. I don't like the number, but whatever. If it works,
I love the number. I love the number. And we are out of here. One, Bills Live is next. There's another number one. One is the loneliest number. Instigators, we're out till Monday.